Warning: The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
This is Dana Lash sitting in for the legendary Dr. Michael Savage here on The Savage Nation. He has been gracious enough to extend a second invitation to have me back and to address his listening audience. And Dr. Savage will be back later on in this show, and you will be able to hear his voice then. And make sure that you check out michaelsavage.com, because all of the major stories that I'm going to be discussing with you today are at michaelsavage.com, including one of the top headlines. Of course, who else could it be about? The Department of Homeland Security. And this has been such a hot story because you would think that after the tragedy of 9/11, that our government would have gotten it together and that they would have made improvements to our security system. And I found it just absolutely hysterical because our president campaigned as someone who was bringing change. He was bringing hope and change. And his big thing was how different he was from George Bush, except he keeps making some of the same mistakes that George Bush made. One of those was just reactions to some of the terrorism, dealing with flights. I'm going to be doing some traveling in this new year. I am absolutely terrified to get on a plane. Quite honestly, I've never been a good flyer to begin with. But knowing that we have people like John Brennan, our deputy national security advisor, John Brennan, who is sticking up for Janet Napolitano, who I think is just utterly incompetent. I know Dr. Savage thinks that she's utterly incompetent. I know what you all think. You all think the same thing. We're in agreement on this. This is a woman who, after passengers brought down this Abdul Muttalib, who came from Nigeria to Amsterdam, flying into Detroit, even after his father notified the embassy notified our State Department, even after we had all of this, even considering all of this, we still had, it was a thwarted detonation, thwarted only because of his own ignorance and being able, thankfully, in crafting together a bomb, and also because of the bravery and the leadership of some of the passengers that were on this plane. And so now we have John Brennan, and he's been making the talk. He's been making the talk show circuits, and he was on ABC's This Week, and he defends Janet Napolitano. But the other thing that he gets into, and I find this fascinating, is he says we didn't have a smoking gun. There was nothing that could have possibly tipped off anyone in the CIA, anyone in the State Department, that, you know, this guy might have been a possible terrorist. Check him out.
I think clearly the system didn't work. We had a problem in terms of why Abdul Muttalib got on that plane. There is no smoking gun piece of intelligence out there that said he was a terrorist, he was going to carry out this attack against that aircraft. We had bits and pieces of information. Now, let me just take a moment.
Wait, there was no smoking gun. The father went to the embassy in Nigeria. He's a well-respected banker, and said, "I've gotten these terrible text messages from my son."
Right.
That's not a needle in a haystack.
That was one set of data. We had, though, other data within the intelligence system, bits and pieces of information that didn't give us the clarity we needed to be able to map it and attach it to Abdul Muttalib.
So I'm just curious, how much clarity, you know, since we're not calling it proof, how much clarity do you need to discern whether or not someone is a terrorist? Apparently, their father simply telling the government, "My son is a terrorist. He has been radicalized. He has been under the influence of radicals. He's made some very dangerous connections. I think you guys need to watch out for this." Actually get specific with it. Apparently that doesn't work. Apparently being under surveillance for or being at least on the Tides list doesn't count. Knowing that having this man's writings online for everyone to see, talking about jihad, apparently that doesn't count. How much more clarity do you need in order to raise the alarm that something bad is about to happen, that we could have another instance with another airliner? And this is the thing. And I'm very curious as to your thoughts on this. I mean, I personally, I think the dude should be fired. I think dude should be fired. I think Janet Napolitano needs to be out. I think that this is just, you know what? We cannot continue with the incompetency. But the other thing is that, did we get a warning with 9/11? I mean, we got some buildups. I mean, we had the USS Cole. There was the Lockerbie. I mean, we had some buildups, definitely. The embassy bombing. But did we get a heads up? I mean, we're fighting a new war. This isn't like, and I had this conversation with someone the other day, that this, it seems as though during the Revolutionary War, during when we fought the Redcoats, it seemed more of a gentlemanly fashion. People wore uniforms, and they were proud to wear their uniforms, and it was all very, very, you know, just there was a lot of pageantry with it. And it seemed to be, I mean, you know, even though they were the enemies, it seemed to be more of a gentleman's war back in the day, using air quotes. Now, the tactics are completely changed. Now anybody could be the enemy. Now there's no shame. Now people will use children, use women as suicide bombers. And this guy, I mean, he was incredibly young. And he was recruited and he was sent out to cause chaos. And we didn't get a heads up in 9/11. And if they think that, you know, no one declared war, no one declared any kind of war. And with Japan, too, they didn't announce that they were going to bomb Pearl Harbor. It was just done. And everyone's like, oh, that's so bad. Do you think that you're going to get some kind of greeting card? Oh, by the way, we're going to take down one of your planes. How much more clarity do you need? I'd love to hear what you think about this. 1-800-449-8255. Let's go to John in New York. Hey, John, you're on Savage Nation. How are you?
Hello, Dana. Thank you for taking my call. Listen, I was on a flight recently, and I had a problem with some sort of food stuff. It was routed here, there, and various places. When I looked into this further, as far as the legalities of this is concerned, it seemed to have tied into something that was called Codex Alimentarius.
Wow.
Some sort of law that was written into this long document that detailed certain things about food, certain foodstuffs, some sort of minute little detail that the average person is not going to know about. And when I got on, when I was trying to get on the plane, I was immediately, you know, shuffled away and given to this person and that person. They had to check my passport as if I was some, you know, carrying drugs or some sort of bomber. So I don't, this is something that came up recently. I know very little about, but it was enough to delay me for several hours.
Yeah, that's absolutely unbelievable. Well, I mean, you know, I just, and John, I appreciate you calling in. I'm looking at everything that we're going to have to go through with TSA, I'm just still floored because here we have still people in government who don't recognize this stuff. And we got people who I honestly think our citizens are have their eyes about them more than our government does. John, thanks for your call. I appreciate it. Let's go to John in Sacramento. John, you're on the Savage Nation. Thanks so much for calling in.
Thank you. It's really simple what we have to do. Let's just give Al-Qaeda what they want. Strike a truce with them. Fine. We'll get out of their countries and their lands. Solves all the problem. We're 300 million Americans. We're inconveniencing ourselves. We're destroying our way of life. Waiting for hours for a flight that takes 45 minutes to Vegas. For what? All the terrorists are Muslim men. You have to profile. You have to cut it by the roots. What's wrong with that?
Well, I mean, and John, I appreciate you calling in. Thanks for your call. You make a very good point. I think anyone who is an enemy of the state should be deported. I think anyone who supports any kind of terrorist activity against this country, or anyone who sympathizes with it, or anyone who defends it, I mean, that's back in the day, they called that treason. Nowadays, it's, I mean, there's a difference between dissent, and there's a difference between, like, what was the guy, Adam Gadon, how he left California and went over to the Middle East, and he became a terrorist, and then he made this video talking about how the streets of America are going to run red with blood, and it was just all about blood and everything else. Yeah, those guys, get them out of here. I'm all about that. And the thing is it's frustrating. It's incredibly frustrating because I've been trying to learn more about Islam. Because, I mean, people can disagree all they want, but I just don't think that's something that talks about death to the infidels and something that says, you know, you fight them wherever you find them. And I mean, these are literally direct quotes from the Quran. I just don't see how something like that is loving. And I think it's funny that anybody would take offense to that. But yeah, you know, we got somebody that can put a cross with Jesus on it in a jar of urine and call it art. And we're supposed to be okay with it. You know, that's just the discrepancy is quite interesting. But you don't see Christians out flying planes into buildings. Talk to Pete in New York. Pete, you are on the Savage Nation. Thanks so much for calling in.
Hey, yeah, absolutely. And, you know, you say, well, anybody who doesn't read the Quran, and I have not read all of it, but I've read a lot of it, there are over 200 instances where they specifically say you are obligated to kill any non-believer in Allah. There's a lot of love in it, only love for Muslims. So, you know, they're going by a playbook where everything that they do is okay as long as they're killing us.
Yeah. No, and you know what? You make a great point, and I can't disagree with it, Pete. I can't. And that's just the thing. I mean, even in the Bible, and I'm not going to have like 8 different Bibles in my house. I have this big comparative Bible. You know, I know the scriptures, and I just, in the New Testament, which it doesn't talk about, oh, we got to kill anyone who's not a Christian. We got to kill them. And we're going to fight them wherever we find them. And I mean, there's been a lot of people who have used faith. And this is the big difference. And I want to talk about more about Brennan. But there's been a lot of people who have used faith to do very evil things. But the faith, the Christianity, doesn't preach evil. It doesn't talk about killing people. And people, like, I know a lot of the left, like, taken out of context either. There's been a lot of people who have done evil things. But when you have a religion that talks about doing evil things, this is Dana Lash sitting in for Michael Savage on the Savage Nation.
Savage.
This is Dana Lash sitting in for Michael Savage and addressing you, the Savage Nation. A big thanks to Dr. Savage for having me back in. He is a very gracious host. Make sure that you check out michaelsavage.com, and you're going to find all of the headline goodness that we're discussing on the show right up there, all the news that you need to know. And in looking over some of the stuff that's coming in about all of this, because this, you know, as someone who likes to travel without getting blown up, I just find it absolutely hysterical, the outrage that has been raised over using profiling in order to, as a security method, in order to keep Americans safe. And obviously, you know, profiling without going whole hog nuts, there's a big difference. But I would like to see, well, here's an example. I watched a news report earlier about how Israel conducts there, how they carry out different security measures to keep their countrymen safe. And one of the things that they do is they have guys that literally, like, stand out in the airport waiting area, and they look at people. They ask people questions when they're coming in to fly, and they'd make no bones about it that they use profiling. And they're going to be harder on someone who looks like they could be a terrorist as opposed to, say, an American Jew or anyone else. And they're completely open and honest about it. And here's the thing. This is Israel. This is just ground zero for this is the big this has the target. They have the target on them when it comes to terrorists wanting to destroy something. They're going to go after Israel first. They have a perfect security record. Israel does. I was shocked because they have a better record than we do. And they're more of a threat to terrorists and Palestine and everything else than the United States. They're the ones who they're surrounded by enemies, except for the ocean. They're surrounded by enemies and they have a perfect security record, whereas we do not. And it's because they understand that the safety and security of people flying into their airports, of their own citizens, they understand that that is paramount. And they're not going to hang themselves with any political correctness. They're not going to say, and they're not going to, this is what they get. They understand that it's more non-PC to allow people to be blown up or harmed in terrorist attacks than it is to hurt a terrorist's feelings or to hurt someone's feelings. Because, hey, look, we're trying to implement security measures here. That's all. We're trying to keep people safe, including you. That's the bottom line. And now we have Janet Napolitano, who wants to make all of these different. She wants to implement all of these TSA changes. And now we have Nigeria, where our Abdul Muttalib originated. We have Nigeria slamming the discriminatory flight checks, the new security measures for passengers. We'll talk a little bit more about that. We're also going to take more of your calls. 1-800-449-8255. This is Dana Lash sitting in for Michael Savage on The Savage Nation. This is Dana Lash sitting in for the legendary Michael Savage on this, The Savage Nation, and it is a privilege to be able to fill in for Dr. Savage, and he's going to be back later on in this broadcast, and so you're going to hear his voice very, very soon. He'll be back later on in this show. And very gracious host, and I'm glad to be filling in. Don't forget to check out michaelsavage.com, because you have, I mean, just some of the news that is coming down the pike is, well, you just can't write stuff like this. You just can't do it. 1-800-449-8255. Let's go to Lee in Mississippi. Hey, Lee, you are on The Savage Nation. Thanks for calling in.
Hey, one thing I was going to say, I was going to make a point that me and my wife were flying one time. My wife is white, and I'm Hispanic. And they stopped me and let her go to proceed onto the plane while they rechecked my stuff. And my wife asked me if it was a problem. I said, no. I said, I feel perfectly fine about it. You know, if it helps keep everybody else safe, let's do a little racial profiling. I mean, you said it yourself, it's worked before.
Yeah, and well, I mean, Israel implements it, and people take it as a personal affront. And that's, I mean, that's not what, it's not intended to be a personal affront. I mean, it just seems like people internalize and they take everything so personally. Well, you know, they need to probably give a little bit more consideration to the lives of everybody else, you know? I mean, you get it.
Yeah, we're all American.
There you go. Lee, thanks for your call. I appreciate it. Speaking of, you know, talking about profiling and all of this, Nigeria is all up in arms. They're slamming these discriminatory flight checks. They're criticizing the new security measures that the United States has implemented for passengers flying to and from the U.S. They said that they're unfair and they amount to discrimination against 150 million people. Keep in mind that, you know, it would be, I think, even more discriminatory to think that the security of 300 million people don't count. But says Nigeria, they're upset. It says it's unfair to include Nigeria on the U.S. list for tighter screening because Nigerians do not have terrorist tendencies. Except, well, I think Abdul Muttalib would totally kind of just invalidate that whole line of thinking. No one's saying that Nigerians do, but a terrorist came from Nigeria. Nigeria, Amsterdam, flown into Detroit, plane almost blew up. again, people take this so personally. We're keeping the we're keeping lives living. We're keeping people safe. And I look at all this. You talk about promotion of one group over another, and it seems that to protect the feelings of one group over the safety of actual citizens seems to me like promotion of one group over another before the law, which also kind of seems unconstitutional. Just, you know, in my two cents. And speaking of John Brennan, who I can't get enough of, he and Janet Napolitano. I mean, it was scary enough when Janet Napolitano comes out and says, oh, well, the system worked, and then 3 seconds later had to eat crow and say, actually, no, it didn't. Unless you count heroic American citizens, heroic passengers acting quickly, unless you count that part of the system, which they didn't. They can pretend like they do. But now we have John Brennan, who's out defending her. And he says that the system failed. He says there was no smoking gun, but the system failed. And he says that, you know, there wasn't a red flag. Check him out.
The system did fail. It did not.
But he, as I said before,
a lot of people buy their tickets in Africa with cash. That is the way, in fact, things are done because there's so much fraud there. So that wasn't a necessary bell. People in the Amsterdam airport didn't even know that he had bought the ticket for cash. He did bring on carry-on luggage. So there were a lot of things that were out there. We are now doing the diagnosis. We're going back and figuring out exactly how we could have stopped this early on.
Oh my gosh, are you serious? How you could have stopped this early on. The father told the embassy, my kid is a terrorist. The embassy told the State Department, and the State Department, well, what did the State Department do? They were too busy looking at veterans, as you know, because they made Dr. Savage mad. He was all over it. They were too busy looking at veterans and regular American citizens who were dissenting with this administration. They were too busy looking the other way. Maybe doing that could have probably helped. Who cares what he bought his ticket with? He was on the list. He shouldn't have even been allowed into this country. He lied on his visa application. I mean, come on. He also, Brennan continues, and this is this right here. Oh my gosh. This is just, he says that there was nothing in any of this that was like 9/11. Listen.
First of all, it's not like 9/11. There was no indication that any of these agencies, departments were intentionally holding back information. And I can point to numerous successes.
No
turf battles. There were lapses. There were human errors. The system didn't work the way it should have. But no agency was trying to. I think there were human errors and lapses. And so what I'm going to do is to make sure they tell the president exactly what I think went wrong. But there wasn't an effort to try to conceal information.
Wow. Well, you know, well, that's good. I don't know what's worse. What do you think is worse? A deliberate effort to conceal information or being so incompetent that you have lapses. You have human error and system lapses that almost cost 350 American lives. I don't know what's worse. It's either total idiocy or total maliciousness. What's worse? I just don't know. 1-800-449-8255. Let's go to the phones. Melanie in Arkansas. Hey, thanks for calling into the Savage Nation.
Thank you. And I just have a comment about this profiling deal. If I'm a Caucasian female, if there are Caucasian females blowing planes out of the sky, please profile. You might actually save my life while you're weeding out the idiots.
Thank you. That is a wonderful point, Melanie. Thank you for calling in. That was great. And thanks for your call. That's absolutely it. And I agree with her. I agree with Melanie. If white women were flying planes into buildings, oh, sure, you can profile me. Profile me. I have no problem with it. Come profile me. Because, like she said, it's going to keep us safer. I'm going to be kept safer. Because I'm not a crazy plane flying into the building kind of person. Just, you know, kind of the bottom line. Talk to Chad in New Hampshire. Hey, Chad, thanks so much for calling into the Savage Nation.
Yeah, great show, by the way. I think they had the information and they should have done something with it. It was absolute idiocy. And like you said, it seems like there's no accountability from their end. My only concern is this whole country's premise is not to be racist. And are we holding a whole race accountable for a very small fraction? And I mean, I agree. I think it should be enforced extremely heavy. I just don't know when it becomes too heavy and who do you profile, because it's so many different people that hate us right now that are trying to, you know, get a piece of the pie. I just don't know where it ends.
Yeah, and Chad, I think you made a good point, and thank you for your call. You make an excellent point there. There's a difference, and I know this has been said on this program earlier by Dr. Savage's callers. There's a difference between profiling and between stereotyping. There is a difference in between profiling, being motivated by the security of hundreds of lives, by the security of the country, and stereotyping because someone is a racist. Huge difference. And when you consider stuff like that, when you're profiling, it comes down to statistics. Let's look at statistics. FBI agents do it every single day. Forensic investigators do it. I mean, insurance, actuarians look at statistics. It's a part of life. It's a part of mitigating disasters and everything else. I mean, this just comes along with it. Statistics are a part of everyday life. This is absolutely no different. And I just don't agree with the argument that that's racist. It's not racist. And I don't think it's holding up one race as it's not racist. It's not holding up a race of people and holding them accountable. It's saying, let's look and see who out of everyone. Has it been white women? Has it been Hispanics? Has it been Jews? Let's look and see who have been the people who have flown the most planes into buildings. Who have been the people who have used women and children as shields? I honestly think that the enemy wants everyone to get hung up on political correctness. They want people. They thrive on the indulgence of political correctness. And that is the thing that keeps us as a target. It's a thing that continues to allow these thugs in to do this to us. We allow the terror because we buy into it. I think there's a huge difference. Profiling and stereotyping are two hugely different things. And John Brennan, I mean, I wish that I wish people like Janet Napolitano and John Brennan got that. I wish that the ACLU got that. The ACLU, the reason that we're all being losing our dignity in the airports is because, you know, we got people like the ACLU who don't want us to implement any other security measures. It's worked wonderfully for Israel. And they're a bigger target to terrorists than we are. 1-800-449-8255. Let's go to Mary in Illinois. Hey, Mary, you are on the Savage Nation. Thanks so much for calling in.
Thank you. What I wanted to talk about is getting really rid of this terrorism, and that is getting right down to the root of it. And the root of it that we keep ignoring is the role of the Russian KGB and the FSB in training these terrorists, and also state-sponsored intelligence operations. And we need to get our CIA and the Secret Services around the world to be more active, because we don't hear anything about actually eradicating this where it's coming from.
That's a good point, Mary, and thanks for calling in. I appreciate it. That's an excellent point. I mean, and that's, you know, they're all so busy having turf wars. Everyone's got ambition. They're all going to choke on it. We want credit for this, and we're having these turf wars. This is our area. And in the meantime, people die. I mean, that's one of the things that was a factor with 9/11. And in the meantime, people die. People, I think a lot of these agencies need to suck it up and work together, quite honestly. Mark in Albany, thanks for calling into the Savage Nation. How are you tonight, sir?
Just fine, Ms. Slash. I must say, I like your contribution to the show this evening. It's great.
Well, very big shoes to fill. I appreciate you calling in.
Yeah, no question. I just want to follow up on a point that I've heard. I'm really a first-time caller, long-time listener. But it's something that Mike echoes quite often, and it goes like this. Not all Muslims are terrorists, yet most terrorists are Muslims.
And absolutely.
It's really kind of a tailspin in what we're trying to do as a country and what we're trying to do to really put forth peace. These are people that work in very covert ways. They come upon you a lot quicker than you think. I mean, when you think of all the cells that could be in this country and you look at all the cells that are in the United Kingdom, they're all over the place. So really what has to take place is not so much profiling, but it's being a lot more proactive. And there's a lot of ways that this can be done in terms of legislation. in terms of law enforcement. It just across the board, across the
board. Yeah.
You got to wonder.
Excellent points.
Just really to take this a bit further, you have so many American young men and women overseas. What happens if, why don't we just bring some of these people back that have been over there for three or four tours, bring them back, let them spend 3 months with their family, and then have them 6 months on and 6 months off both of our borders and in our
very place. Good idea.
This is the time when, this is the 21st century. Terrorism is no longer exempt in the United States.
Yeah, that's absolutely right.
To start taking care of business and taking care of our own. And quite frankly, I don't see that happening in the next 3 years, let alone the next 5 years.
Yeah. No, well, and I don't either, Mark. And to tell you the truth, it's almost like it's being made difficult for us, the citizens, by our government, because we're told all that, like by organizations like the ACLU, oh, no, we can't do this. Oh, no, you can't. That's racist. You can't do this. You can't do that. Just like the whole thing with profiling and everything, it seems as though our government is trying to dumb us down in terms of situational awareness, in terms of just sort of having our eyes and ears open. And I mean, this is our country. We all have, an interest in this country. This is our country. We're all patriots. And I just, in so many ways, I feel like our government is trying to neuter us of this. But Mark, I appreciate your call. Thank you so much for calling in. Fantastic points. I love the Savage Nation callers. They're always the most fun people with which to bounce stuff back and forth. And this, this whole thing. And now we have Brennan. Oh, this is delicious. John Brennan. It's a now they're and they don't go into these incentives. But now, apparently, John Brennan has said that there's a deal on the table for Abdul-Muttalib, the terror suspect. They're offering him, this is the guy, this is the crotch bomber or the eunuch bomber, however you want to look at it. They're offering him incentives to share information about everything he knows about Al-Qaeda, about how he was recruited, about whether or not other people are coming, because, there's all of these videos that are around the internet where you have terrorists, you have Al-Qaeda operatives screaming in the streets saying, there are more of us coming and all of this. Well, now they're trying to basically bribe this guy to get him to talk. And I just find that absolutely, we're offering him incentives now. We're offering him, you don't negotiate with terrorists. And, we have people like John Brennan and we have people like Janet Napolitano say that, oh, well, Gitmo, that's a propaganda tool. No, being able to negotiate with terrorists, that's a propaganda tool, because they know that they can do this stuff. And in the very end, they're going to get away with it. Because, again, what is it? We have to treat everyone with like kittens and sunshine. And we're just going to use kid gloves on everybody. And it's just sad. It's just absolutely sad. We're going to take more of your calls when we come back. 1-800-449-8255. This is Dana Lash sitting in for the great Michael Savage here on The Savage Nation. This is Dana Lash sitting in for Dr. Michael Savage on The Savage Nation. Don't forget to check out michaelsavage.com, because he's got a lot of news goodness up there. Everything that we've been discussing this hour, this program, and also Dr. Savage is going to be back later in the show. So you're going to get to hear from him in just a little while. Let's go right now to Jimry in San Antonio. Jimry, thanks for calling in. You are on The Savage Nation.
Hey, thanks for taking my call, my first-time caller. So, I actually wanted to add, I've been listening since the Nigerian bomber sort of hit the headlines the last week. I've been listening to a lot of people talk about, all the aspects of this new terrorist act. But, one of the things that you were talking about just a few minutes ago as far as Nigeria or a group of Nigerians were objecting at to the fact that they were being made to potentially be watched a little more closely by whatever watch list organizations are out there to protect us, and they were taking umbrage with this. And it's interesting to me. I'm Nigerian. I mean, I was born in Nigeria. My dad's Nigerian, moved to the United States when I was 10 years old. But it's amazing. The Nigerians I know probably wouldn't have a problem. I think that statement that Nigerians aren't terrorists is, I think, an accurate one. So why would anybody have a problem, you know, showing their articles during travel if there's nothing to be found there? It makes sense to me that if someone from any country, say Nigeria, just tried to blow up a plane, that, that we can submit to a little closer scrutiny, because the people who aren't trying to blow up planes, the majority of Nigerians, will be safer along with everybody else if this is borne out. And if no other Nigerian tries to blow up a plane for a while, it makes sense to me that sort of heightened security might dwindle, or we may include other countries as we identify other sources of potential terror. And, it's just the way it is in this day and age. I think people should just kind of relax a little bit. And we're all Americans. And as long as it's not racist, which it's not, it's a security issue, then I don't see any problem. Certainly speaking for myself and a lot of the people.
Yeah. Absolutely. Jim Ray, thanks so much for calling into the Savage Nation. I am Dana Lash, sitting in for Dr. Michael Savage. More of the Savage Nation after this.
Warning, the Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
This is Dana Lash sitting in for Dr. Michael Savage on The Savage Nation. It's a very, very big privilege to be filling in for Dr. Savage. He was gracious enough to extend to me an invitation to come back and talk to you, his audience. And very, very cool. And I thank him a lot for that. It's very, very nice. I want to also direct you to michaelsavage.com. You need to be going there and checking out the headlines that Dr. Savage has compiled on his website, because this is all of the top news that you need to know to get through your day. And one of the headlines that he has up here, I read this article twice, and when I first saw it, I thought it was a joke. I really did. And, you know, it's not. Of course, things like this, it's just, you just can't write comedy like this. And the article that Dr. Savage has up, well, it's about New York City and about what the citizens of New York City, what's going on with their taxpayer dollars and what the government produced using $32,000 of taxpayer money. Well, they produced this manual, this pamphlet called Heroin for Dummies. And it's kind of cute. It's this New York Post article. They say this is the latest smack on taxpayers, which, and Dr. Savage has a photo of one of the pages, tip number 6, listed right on his website there. New York City spent $32,000 to create 70,000 flyers that tell you how to shoot up. They tell you how to shoot heroin, and it gives you all the information that you need to know about preparing your dope and about ejecting heroin into your arm. It's sort of like, it almost looks like some kind of cookbook, quite honestly. It's just absolutely unbelievable. It's 16 pages, And it has all, it's fully illustrated in color, 16 pages, and it offers such advice as, this is, I mean, this is actually real. This is what New York City spent your taxpayer dollars on. It says, take care of your veins. That's tip number six. And, of course, it has, like, this comic-y looking someone with elastic tied around their arm. And it talks about how to take care of your veins and get your veins to jump out. How to shoot correctly to avoid infection and collapsed veins. And it says, don't blunt your needle by poking it in a hole in your sterile water container. And it also suggests, you know, if you're having trouble, you know, being the heroin user that you are, if you're having some kind of trouble injecting the drug, well, why don't you warm your body up by jumping up and down to show your veins? $32,000 of taxpayer cash money was used to create this thing. And there are people who are actually defending it. Of course, we have the Drug Enforcement Administration's office in New York says it's just they're not so happy with it. They say that it's a step-by-step. John Gilbride says it's a step-by-step instruction on how to inject a poison, which, yeah, but how do you feel if you are in New York, or even if you're not in New York, how would you feel if your government actually used your money when we have a triple deficit? When we are sending more troops to Afghanistan, when we have we had cash for clunkers, we had the stimulus, we had the son of the stimulus, and now we have health care, or faux care rather, coming through. How would you feel if your government spent more of your cash money to create a pamphlet to help drug users use more drugs? I mean, that's just unbelievable. I'm going to give you the number to call in for the Savage Nation, 1-800-449-8255. I mean, this is just, you know, and this is the thing, $32,000. There are children in New York City that do not get three square meals a day. They don't. There, I mean, there's children that need help. There's so much more that this money could have been spent on instead of, oh, we're going to try to be like Amsterdam. We're going to try to be like Europe. They're so open with their drug. It's sick. This is, I mean, you, basically, the government has forced taxpayers to be complicit in drug abuse right here. And they didn't use this money to help drug users. Don't do drugs, kids. They didn't use this money to help drug users. They didn't do it for anything else. Did they? And this is, and all of the people who are defending it, by the way, these are the people who are constantly talking about how we need to live a more green lifestyle and love the trees and, you know, peppermint streets and all of this stuff. These are 70,000 pamphlets were created with your, again, your cash money. 70,000 pamphlets. How many trees does it take to create 70,000 pamphlets to upon which people write about how to do drugs? I mean, it is a guide to do drugs. And I mean, this is, I just, in the so many ways that people are defending, I see, oh well, and this is, so many liberals are coming out and saying, oh well, you know, this actually is, it saves you money because, and I'm just, I don't know why they talk like this. It saves you money and you, it actually prevents them from going to the ER, from a drug overdose. And so that way you're just, I'm not even kidding you. That's some of the defense for this. And there's others who say, oh, well, no, this, you're crazy if you think that this is going to actually inspire people to start shooting heroin. That's just nuts. Well, then why do you really think that someone who is a junkie, like someone who, I don't think that there's, I honestly don't think that there's like a one-time heroin user. From everything that I know about the drug, you do it once and you're a junkie because you keep going back and doing it and doing it and doing it. I mean, it's just that addictive. It just seems to me that they wouldn't print something like this for a regular heroin user because it's so elementary. I mean, this is like stuff that junkies already know. Like junkies see this and they take this and they like roll it up and smoke dope with it. That's what they do. That's what they do with these pamphlets because they know all this stuff. So this is actually, I mean, it looks like an elementary guidebook on how to shoot heroin. Honestly, and this $32,000 of your cash money went to that, taxpayer dollars. So, you know, people in New York, yeah, you know, you can thank your government for that. Let's talk to Brett in Oregon. Hey, Brett, you are on the Savage Nation. Thanks for calling in.
Yeah, hi, Nina. I was just going to comment that my understanding is the Libertarian Political Party is the one who's responsible for pushing the legalizing drugs. So anybody who's votes Libertarian or was thinking about voting Libertarian, that's exactly who is responsible for promoting that agenda.
Well, you make an interesting point there, Brett. I thank you for calling in. I don't know so much if libertarians are, and I'm not going to speak for libertarians as I am not one. I'm not anything, by the way. I'm just conservative. I think that maybe I don't know if libertarians are so much saying, oh, hey, let's legalize I know that they want pot to be legalized and everything else. I don't know to the like heroin and things like that. I think they're more or less championing the individual's choice, the freedom to make a choice to whether or not they want to do drugs. I mean, it just might be a better perspective to look at it like. But this whole thing, I mean, I can't honestly, this seems to be to go a step beyond like promoting legalizing drug use by showing people how to kill themselves via needle. I don't know. But you can check it out. This is all linked up on michaelsavage.com. So you can go there, check it out. Because you got to see it. This is just $32,000. You know what I could have done with $32,000? I mean, there's so many things. You can invest it. You can earn money. I mean, there's so many things you can do with that. You can actually maybe, I don't know, here's a thought. Try to help people get off drugs. Oh, I mean, it's unbelievable. Let's talk to Ryan, who is in New Hampshire. Hey, Ryan, you are on the Savage Nation. Thanks for calling in.
Hey, what's going on? I just wanted to know, like, I guess from a conservative standpoint, how could you be against education on drugs?
Well, I'm not against education on drugs. That's the thing.
But I mean, like, you know, if you put the $32,000 towards education instead of towards policing people or arresting people or paying to keep them in jail, I mean, how much does it cost every day to keep a drug user
in
jail?
But Ryan, you're making the incorrect assumption that this what is it, 16 pages, the 16-page pamphlet is just about educating people to the dangers of drug use or just about different types of drugs. It's not. What this pamphlet does is show people how to inject a needle into their blood, into their veins, and shoot heroin. That's more than just educating someone about drugs or the dangers of drugs or anything else, or just this is heroin and this is what heroin does. I mean, Dr. Savage, I mean, he knows all this. This is his territory. But you're assuming that, I mean, I'm not against drug education, but this isn't drug education. I mean, that's just it. I mean, showing someone, literally graphically showing someone how to shoot heroin, that's showing them how to shoot heroin. That's not like drug education. I mean, it's a big difference. Do you see what I'm getting at?
I'd have to see the pamphlet, really. I mean, I haven't seen it firsthand, so I can't speak specifically on that, but I guess I just feel that any money that's put towards drug education is just much more useful.
Yeah, well, I mean, and Ryan, I appreciate your call. Thanks for calling in. But, you know, I don't think that we, you know, if just tell people about the dangers of drugs. But this isn't drug education. It's showing people how to shoot up heroin. That's pretty much it. Don't forget, Dr. Savage is going to be back later in this show. You're going to be hearing from him soon. Check out michaelsavage.com. This is Dana Lash sitting in for Michael Savage here on the Savage Nation.
Savage.
This is Dana Lash sitting in for Dr. Michael Savage on the Savage Nation, and the good doctor is on his way. He is actually going to be coming in at the bottom of the hour. He just got off a plane, and he's heading to the studio, so you're going to get to hear from him shortly. And I just want to say a big thanks to Dr. Savage for having me in to fill in for him. It's always a blast to talk to Savage Nation. Everybody out there is just super cool, and I just enjoy it a lot. Don't forget to go to michaelsavage.com because he's got all of the headlines that we're discussing, plus more news that you need to know, all up there on michaelsavage.com. And it's, you know, we've talked so much about the Detroit terrorist, the crotch bomber, as it were. And still, I'm very glad, and I am going to say this. I am at least glad that our president finally decided to connect the Detroit terrorist with Al-Qaeda, because this is a guy who didn't want to use the word terrorism anymore, terrorism or terrorist or anything, because he figured that it would just be divisive. It's more divisive, I guess, to actually call evil as what it is, evil, instead, not divisive at all to allow them to come and blow up innocent Americans. But hey, you know, I mean, different strokes for different folks, even though they're not right at all. And we totally disagree with them. But this is the thing. So we got our president, who's now finally saying, we got clip 8 here. He's now finally saying that this Detroit terrorist, he's linking him with Al-Qaeda. And I'm like, finally, finally, thank you for saying this. Listen.
The investigation into the Christmas Day incident continues, and we're learning more about the suspect. We know that he traveled to Yemen, a country grappling with crushing poverty and deadly insurgencies. It appears that he joined an affiliate of Al-Qaeda, and that this group, Al-Qaeda in the Arabian Peninsula, trained him, equipped him with those explosives, and directed him to attack that plane headed for America.
Yeah, absolutely. Even though he was saying that there, you know, all of his handlers were saying that we didn't know for sure whether or not he was connected to Al-Qaeda. But maybe perhaps the CIA massacre, the 7 agents that were killed over in Afghanistan, maybe, I don't know, all of the threats over in Yemen that made the U.S. close its embassy. And then, of course, obviously the crotch bomber. Maybe all of this is forcing him to realize that, you know what, as much as I want to be this kittens and sunshine kind of president, and as much as I don't want to have to talk about terrorism and terror and everything else, I kind of have to, because it's in my face, regardless whether or not I'm going to identify it. And that's the thing. But what he said next in his weekly address that he gave about the Detroit terrorists, I thought it was interesting. He talks about the values that we must uphold because we are America. Listen to him. This is very interesting.
This is not the first time this group has targeted us. In recent years, they've bombed Yemeni government facilities and Western hotels, restaurants, and embassies, including our embassy in 2008, killing one American. So as president, I've made it a priority to strengthen our partnership with the Yemeni government, training and equipping their security forces, sharing intelligence, and working with them to strike Al-Qaeda terrorists. Our nation is at war against a far-reaching network of violence and hatred, and that we will do whatever it takes to defeat them and defend our country, even as we uphold the values that have always distinguished America among nations. Make no mistake, that's exactly what we've been doing.
Well, yeah, and I thought that was just sort of a very interesting statement that the president had, because it makes me wonder, is he referring to his abhorrence to waterboarding, even as we uphold the values? I mean, we've always, even if we waterboarded every single person that was a suspect, not so much as a person that we even had solid evidence on as being related to a terror cell, we would still be upholding greater values than a terrorist group that beheads people and then videotapes it with their flip cam and puts it up on YouTube. Woohoo, jihad! Still even better values than that. And I'm finally glad that he's saying Al-Qaeda. He needs to say terrorism more. He needs to say this is terrorism. Al-Qaeda is a terrorist organization. They are evil. And you know what? Language can do so much. So much. And the fact that he wouldn't use that phrase in the beginning just shows you how much it matters. We're going to take some of your calls on this. 1-800-449-8255. More on this topic as well. I am Dana Lash, sitting in for Dr. Michael Savage on The Savage Nation.
Savage.
the system did fail. It did not.
But he, as I said before,
a lot of people buy their tickets in Africa with cash. That is the way, in fact, things are done because there's so much fraud there. So that wasn't a necessary bell. People in the Amsterdam airport didn't even know that he had bought the ticket for cash. He did bring on carry-on luggage. So there were a lot of things that were out there. We are now doing the diagnosis. We're going back.
All right, let's stop. So we have another schmuck working for the government, a top counterterrorism agent named John Brennan, who says buying a ticket for cash, no problem. Carry-on luggage, no problem. Well, let me tell you something. You go buy a ticket in America with cash, I can guarantee you they'll strap you to a chair and they'll give you an enema. What the hell is he talking about? They're full of crap. They all should be fired. We're in danger. This is Michael Savage, and I'm back. I've just gotten off an airplane. I just flew across the country. Dana, thank you very much for filling in. You did a beautiful job, Dana. That's why I've asked to have you on several times. I think you do a superb job, energy-wise, insights, and it's nice to hear a woman in the house of the Savage Nation after all these years of masculine energy. I want to go back for a minute. If you want to call on this incredible situation we are in with a cowardly, incompetent government who is supposed to protect us, and instead is coddling the terrorists and protecting their own behinds. Did you hear what I just said? Do you actually believe that DHS security advisor John Brennan says that there was no smoking gun because the guy bought a ticket for cash and everyone in Africa does it? And it was no problem? Hey, look, my friend, if it was not for the Flying Dutchman taking down the Somali diaper bomber, there'd be 300 dead Americans, perhaps even thousands once that plane hit into the city on the way down. These people failed us all over again. It's a major disaster, and they should be fired. Now, the commander-in-chief, I should say the moviegoer-in-chief, the golfer-in-chief, finally comes back and gives a milquetoast story to us. Yeah, right, blah, 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 milquetoast. I saw a movie on the plane. I bought it last night in a thing called Defiance. I had not heard of the movie, but I saw Daniel Craig was on the DVD, and the young man said, it's pretty good, it's action. I said, I like action drama. So I took it with me on the plane, and I watched it. Daniel Craig, Defiance, based on the incredible true story. And what's the true story? Daniel Craig, who played James Bond, stars as Tuvia Bileski, an ordinary citizen turned hero. In this action-packed epic of family honor, vengeance, and salvation, Defiance is a riveting adventure that showcases the extraordinary story, true story of the Bileski brothers, simple farmers outnumbered and outgunned who turned a group of war refugees into powerful freedom fighters. Tuvia, along with his unyielding brother, Zeus, played by Liev Schreiber, who did a great job. I'm not a Liev Schreiber fan, but he did a great job. Anyway, they motivate hundreds of civilians to join their ranks against the Nazi regime. Now, if it was fiction, it would be not worth talking about. But it isn't fiction. It's about an actual pair of brothers in, I believe, Poland in 1940 who refused to be captured by the Nazis. They were Jews. But in this case, and here's the interesting part of the story, one of the brothers was a smuggler and a thief, and he was tough enough as a result to stand up to the murderers and become a murderer himself in order to save thousands of people who did not know how to kill. And the story that I am telling you has direct relevance to what we are living through here in America. We don't have tough men running America. We have calculating men, we have devious men, we have shrewd men, but none of them are tough enough for the times we are living in. None of them are tough enough to face the animals that would cut your throat, that would slash your daughter's throat in front of your eyes and throw it down a well. None of these men are tough enough for the job. Do you understand what I said to you? Now I'll go a step further. I will go a step further. I will go a step further. And this is going to be tough for many of you to take. If you were to turn the clock back to the FBI of the 1960s, the late 60s, during the J. Edgar Hoover period, when there was an attempt to overthrow the American government by the American left, and if you were to look at the dossiers that the FBI was compiling on the Weather Underground and on radical fellow travelers, you would recognize that they have taken over America. I don't know how to put it to you, but this country has been taken over by radical college communists. Make no mistake about it. They're vicious and they're shrewd, but they're not tough enough to face off against the enemies that would cut your throat and throw you down a well. That's my opinion. There's only one thing that could save us, and that's profiling, profiling, and more profiling. The whole concept of profiling is a construct of the enemy himself. The whole idea that we're even talking about it shows that they've already beaten us. They've already beaten us halfway to the goal, posts. If they've got you conscious of the fact that you're going to profile a Somali because he's a holy man, because a triple there, you got a triple there. You got a man of color, you got a Muslim, and you got an African all in one. Put an Irish nun in a wheelchair at a TSA, and you'll see how tough they can be. Oh, I've seen them go through Irish nuns' wheelchairs. I've seen them frisk diapers of two-year-old white babies. But when you see an African Muslim come aboard an airplane, they practically get on a prayer rug and beg them for forgiveness. And so, as I say, the enemy has 50% down the goal already. 50% to the goal already. They've got you beaten because you won't even look them in the eye and say, I don't trust you. I don't like the way you look. I don't like your eyes. I don't like what you look like. I think you're going to blow this plane up. Go over there. We're going to strip you. That's what has to happen in order for us to survive. And if you think that I'm wrong, it shows you how brainwashed you are. I'll tell you right now that unless we get men capable of killing the killers, we're dead. Now I'll go to the next point that I want to make. I read an analysis by an FBI agent of many years ago. I believe he worked for the FBI, one of the intelligence services, who tried to describe the variety of human beings in the world of violence. Now, we all know what violence is. I'm pretty sure we all know what it is. And we know there are people who are predators. And we know that there are people in gradations of predators. There are predators, and then there are other predators. Al-Qaeda is a super predatory organization. They would kill an entire city if they could. This is not a man who would break into a house and rape a wife and rob the house and kill the guy just for sport. This is a man who would break into a country and rape an entire city if he could and destroy every one of you. They're super predators, and we need super predatory men who can stand up to them. We need the worst of the worst to save us, not these panty-waisted Yale skull-and-bones characters who apparently don't know what the hell they are doing. And I'll tell you another thing. I don't even think these guys are up to the level of skull and bone. Where? And grew up on left-wing communist rhetoric, and all they are doing is thinking about what have we done to make them want to hurt us. Every day they wake up, guys like DHS security advisor John Brennan, he says, oh, they come from a land that's impoverished. Ask yourself how Somali pirates can get away with hijacking one ship after another without having your whole village blown up. Ask yourself how that goes on. How is it possible that we have the most powerful navy on earth that won't fire a shot? How is it possible that we have men like Navy SEALs, we have men like U.S. Marines, who when they actually do their job, they are either court-martialed or pushed out of the line of fire because of these panties who operate from behind the scenes with remote cameras? How has it happened that this country has fallen into the hands of radical left-wing college professors and that type? How has it happened? Because there's been a revolution in this country. Now, all of this would be rather joyful and humorous if we were not facing the worst possible situation this nation has ever faced. The Nazis were pretty fierce. And there's no question in my mind that they would have wiped out whole cities if they could, just as we wiped out whole cities in Germany. It was total war. No question about it. But it took men willing to face down the Nazis who were just as brutal, just as calculating, and just as courageous in order to beat them. Are you telling me that you think that Barack Hussein Obama, a community organizer before he became president by strange means? Let me go back to that. Think of what a community organizer is. The word community organizer, the phrase, the description, community organizer, was generally applied to radical communists in the 1960s. That's what community organizers generally did for a living. They were community organizers. The SDS, Students for Democrat Society, they were sheer murderers. They were the bombers. Many of them wish that they could bring a revolution to America and kill 30 million so-called bourgeoisie in order to bring around about the more perfect revolution. They, my friends, are running this country. So you would think, well, okay, they're communists, but at least they have a survival skill and they're going to protect us from Al-Qaeda. You are mistaken. They're going to protect Al-Qaeda from us. They're more concerned about Al-Qaeda's sensitivities. They're more concerned with Al-Qaeda's racial profiling concerns than they are with the safety of yourself and your family. And I say it's time to fire Janet Napolitano. I say it's time to clean house and throw John Brennan back to a university where he belongs. And I am telling you that unless we get men off the battlefield, battle-hardened Marines who have seen the face of the enemy, to come back here and face down these Somalis, face down these Yemenites, face down these throwbacks to the 15th century, this does not end well at all. It does not end well at all because they only have to be right once in order to destroy an entire section of a city. And they are planning to do it. What is to stop them from sending 40 more of these diaper bombers? John Brennan is going to stop them. 40 more men buy tickets with cash. John Brennan says, no problem. They all buy cash, tickets for cash in Africa. I want to remind you again, you go buy a ticket to Copenhagen by cash. Go and buy an airplane ticket. I want you to try to see if you can do it. You'll have three FBI agents inside your soup within 15 minutes if you try to buy a ticket to Copenhagen by cash. And you're going to travel with one suitcase? Are you kidding me? This is an incompetent group of left-wing academics. They are over their head. They're full of crap, and it's time for them to go. I'll be right back.
Savage.
Do you think it was odd the way Obama behaved over the 5 days of this story? Do you think it was weird that he went from low-keyed, almost a non-response, to find out to what went wrong? Do you think his reaction was proper, or do you think it showed a man completely out of touch and over his head as I do? Do you think it was odd for the President of the United States to call Farouk Abdulmutallab a suspect? You know, if it wasn't for the Flying Dutchman, this Somali diaper bomber wouldn't be a suspect, would he? He'd be a martyr. Don't you think that it's weird that this terrorist is not being interrogated, but is being given a lawyer and has been read his Miranda rights? Don't you think it's weird that they're treating a man who attempted to bring down an airliner with 300 people on it into a crowded city as a criminal case rather than a case of terrorism? I don't think it's odd at all, given the fact that we have a college teacher running the United States of America. I know this type, and Obama is no different than anyone I ever met way back years ago. I know the SDS types. They're amongst the most vicious, dangerous people on the planet when it comes to loyal, patriotic Americans. But they're absolute wimps when it comes to murderers and terrorists. The government talks about values. What values are they talking about? This is the same president who goes to Copenhagen and is almost unable to land back in Washington, D.C. owing to a blizzard. And the minute he gets off the plane, he starts talking about climate change and now we have to do something the minute he gets back in the year 2010. I just flew across the country, and I was in the Miami area for almost a month, 3.5 weeks, the longest time I've been away for a long time. And people said to me, where are you going? I said, well, I'm going back to my hometown to get some warm weather, San Francisco. You realize that the Miami area has the coldest weather in nearly 10 years. Now, I remember when I was a boy, I would read about low temperatures like this where the orange crops almost failed, and it used to disturb me as a kid in New York. I don't know why. I always had a sympathy for farmers because I understood that we all depended upon farmers. If it was not for the farmers, the entire food chain would collapse. We'd all starve to death. We'd be eating nothing. So I always had a soft spot for farmers. I guess there's a farmer within all of us. But when it falls to near 0 degrees centigrade or 32 degrees Fahrenheit in Miami in the winter, you would think that the schmucks in the government would call off their jihad against business in this country. You would think the liars and the crooks in the climate a shame business would finally say, okay, we were wrong, because no one's going to believe us. You're wrong. Just as they are incompetent on the level of national security, they are incompetent on the level of any level playing field. These people are incompetent at every level. There is nothing this government is doing that is valid. There is nothing this government is doing that couldn't be done better by private enterprise, whether it is delivering the mail by Federal Express. My postman comes at 5 o'clock every day. Why does he arrive at 5 o'clock with a high-carbon postal truck? I don't blame the guy who drives the truck. They drive these high-carbon machines. I mean, they may as well come with horse manure outside. They may as well deliver by Pony Express. What do I need a mailman for in the age of the Internet and Federal Express? Who uses the mail anymore? It's the same thing with the government on many other levels, and yet they keep building and building and building their fiefdoms. You talk about the post office. You want me to go sidetrack on that one? I could go there, too. The guy who's running a division of the Postal Department is, at the same time he's working for the U.S. Postal Department, making hundreds of thousands of dollars a year as a consultant. It's on my website, michaelsavage.com. But let me go back to a more important story, which is the movie Daniel Craig, Defiance. So here are these two guys in Poland who don't want to lay down and die and beg the Nazis to let them live, their mothers and fathers and neighbors. And they did it one at a time, killing them, taking their guns, stealing farmers' food in order to survive. And they then protect the people who can't defend themselves, the old and the young. And they go off into the forest of Poland and live through horrendous times in the winter, living off the air itself. And they have to hook up with the Russian partisans in order to survive out there. But this guy, the important part of the story to me is the characters are real, number one. It's the Bielski brothers. These are the type of guys, hard as nails, hard as a rock. And Bielski, one of them was a smuggler, a criminal, in other words, a low-grade criminal, who had the guts to face off against the Nazis on their own terms, meaning become a murderer just like them. The intellectuals couldn't even hammer a nail in the forest in the winter. There's a very telling scene in the movie where they're trying to build shelter in the winter to get through the horrendous winters that are coming. And one of the intellectuals that they try to rescue can't even drive a nail. And he says to him, well, what did you do before the war? He said, nothing really. He said, what do you mean nothing? He said, I published. What did you publish? He said, I published a pamphlet. I was a pamphlet publisher. The guy couldn't even drive a nail. He couldn't cut a piece of wood. He couldn't build a shelter. They didn't shun him. They taught him how to drive a nail and how to saw a piece of wood and how to man a gun and kill somebody. They showed him how to do it. What I'm getting at is Obama was once asked during the campaign what he actually did. And he actually said, I don't do anything. All I do is push paper. Obama is an intellectual, a paper pusher. Doesn't mean he's an evil man. I don't think Obama's evil at all. I don't think he's evil at all. I don't think he has an evil bone in his body. Let me tell you that right now. I look at the man and I see an ordinary guy who's pretty intelligent, who got pushed forward all his life by radical left-wing communists with millions of dollars from the time he could say Punahou. They picked him young. They picked him young. They schooled him. They schooled him and they groomed him. They never thought they'd get this far, and they are all over their head. Our only hope in this situation is that the American people themselves wake up before it is too late. And I primarily mean the Democrat, the mainstream Democrat, who will come to understand that a radical left-wing incompetent group of academic goons have taken over not only their party, but the security of their children and grandchildren. Do I have hope that this will happen? Yes. Do I believe this will happen? No. I believe that the doxy is so strong in the Democrat that literally an atomic bomb wouldn't shake them out of their prejudices.
Savage.
Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
Now,
America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Welcome back to the Savage Nation. As I said, I came in late to the show. I just flew across the country, and I listened to Dana filling in for me for the first hour and a half. She did a super job, and I picked it up a half an hour into the last hour. And I got to tell you something, that Obama's non-reaction to the diaper, the Somali diaper bomber, is freaking out Democrats. There's such a thing as low-key reactions. I know what they are. That's when someone is, you know, calculating and cold and cool. And there's another thing about being low-key when you're actually not even understanding what went on. I understand a president doesn't want to jump to conclusions. I understand a president doesn't want to be pushed into action. I don't believe that is the reason that Obama has acted in such a milquetoast manner. Why? Because instead of rubber hosing this guy, instead of stripping him down in a room with the toughest and meanest cops you could find in America, and beating him until he gives up the information, they've actually arrested him, booked him, and Mirandized him. Can you believe this? You're telling me that we're going to win a war against terrorists? They're spitting and laughing in our face. They're spitting in our faces and laughing at us. I have a book in my hand that I told you about. James Ellroy, Bloods Are Over. He was on the show a couple of months ago. We replayed it last week. It's a novel. It's a fiction novel, but he's a great fiction writer. He wrote L.A. Confidential. Brilliant writer. So anyway, it's a long, long story about the late 60s and all sorts of conspiracy theories and plots with JFK, with Hoover, J. Edgar Hoover, and Las Vegas and the mob and murders and this and that. I want you to listen to this for a minute. Here's an example of who's running America. This is a fictionalized document insert from the FBI and a subversive person that they're watching named Joan Klein. It says, document insert, subversive person, subject Joan Klein Rosen. Numerous unknown aliases, white female, date of birth, and so on. Summation. Subject, Joan Rosen Klein must be viewed as a seditiously anti-American figure with pervasive connections to dangerous radical organizations across a wide left-wing ideological spectrum, dating back over 20 years. She has been a, quote, community organizer, a planner of protest marches for numerous subversive causes, an instructor at dubious freedom schools that espouse Communist Party-line doctrine, and most pertinently, a strong ally of radical left groups that have advocated the violent overthrow of the United States government, the Socialist Workers' Party, the Students for Democratic Society, and the Revolutionary Action Movement. These organizations have announced their solidarity with violent black nationalist organizations such as the Black Panther Party and another group that they mentioned. The reason I am reading this fictionalized FBI dossier to you today on the Savage Nation is because the fictional character Joan Rosen Klein can be found in nonfiction inside the Obama White House. The Obama White House is filled with real Joan Rosen Kleins, community organizers, planners of protest marches, associates of subversive causes, friends of the Socialist Workers' Party, dear friends of the Students for a Democratic Society, real friends of the revolutionaries, and good friends of the Black Panthers, who, as you well know, engaged in voter intimidation in Philadelphia last year, but were saved by their friend in the Attorney General's office named Eric Holder. So here we have the situation we are in. We have a Somali diaper bomber taken down by the Flying Dutchman, and the government is caught with their pants down and they're covering up for it. We have in Denmark a Somali Muslim who broke into the home of the cartoonist who made the cartoon of Muhammad with a bomb-shaped turban. He broke into the cartoonist's house. The man is in his 60s. He had a granddaughter there. Lucky for the cartoonist, he had a panic button. He was under police protection, and he had a safe room. He went into the safe room, and the Somali Muslim had an axe. The Somali Muslim was smashing the door of his safe room, him screaming, "Jihad, revenge, revenge for Allah, jihad, revenge," said the Somali Muslim, the man of peace. The Danish cartoonist was hiding, as I say, in the safe room. This happened last week. You didn't read about it in your local paper. Lucky for the Danish cartoonist, the Danish police came in and shot the Somali man in the leg and then in the hand. They didn't kill him, of course, because they're not Americans. They wounded him. And now the wounded Somali is being treated in a Danish hospital. But the point of the story is that here we have a Somali in Denmark, a fanatic Muslim who tries to kill a cartoonist. Here we have a Somali Muslim who tries to bring down a plane with Americans on it. Wherever you turn, it seems to me we have a nation named Somalia as the epicenter of so many terrorists and terrorist acts or would-be terrorist acts. And I say, therefore, if you don't want to do racial profiling, then you do nationality profiling. You stop every Somali in the United States of America. You go into every Somali mosque. You put an FBI agent in there. You eavesdrop on them. And you say, you know what? In strange times, you have to do strange things in order to survive. And if you don't like it, you can go back where you came from. But we're not going to let you plot to kill us in our country. We're just not going to do it. And if you don't like it, you can leave the country. In fact, if you protest a little too much, we'll try to figure out why you're protesting so much. Now you say, well, that seems to be racist, Michael Savage, because the Somalis are all black. I would argue to the contrary. I didn't say that you should racially profile all blacks. I'll give you an example. I was in the Miami area for over a month. There are a lot of Haitian people there, many of them illegal aliens. By and large now, they're very peaceful people. They're beautiful people. I get along great with Haitian people. It's not that I speak their lingua franca. I don't speak the language that they speak. It's a very interesting mixture of languages. But because of the years that I spent in all black villages in the Fiji Islands for so many years, they look at me, I look at them, and somehow they understand that I'm, you know, don't mean them any harm. And I'm, more importantly, is that I'm not looking down at them. One thing I can tell you about poor black people that I've learned my whole life is that they look you right in the eye and they can tell right away what you think about them and what you're thinking about them. And within the blink of an eye, you know, they can tell where you're coming from. I'm lucky because I know where my soul is at, and they're pretty lucky in that they can read souls, many of these people. So again, I would say, I'm not saying racially profile anybody who is of African descent. I would say you don't have to racially profile Haitians. I haven't seen a Haitian terrorist recently, have you? You see any Haitians coming over with a bomb screaming Allah Akbar and attempting to bring down an airplane? I haven't. No, I would say you have to profile based upon nationality, not upon race. Now, if you tell me that you can't profile based upon race nor nationality, I would say you're insane. You don't know what you're talking about. The whole essence of police work is to narrow down your suspects based upon certain leads that you have. And if you're going to deny the natural leads, you're going to deny the ability to stop them before they kill somebody. That's exactly the problem we have right now. We have incompetent college people running America. All of them radical left-wingers. Most of them have never fired a Daisy BB gun, and they are, instead of protecting us, they're protecting the would-be terrorists. This is Michael Savage. The phone number here is 1-800-449-8255. I have a key question that I've avoided asking now for several days that no one has asked. How is it that the Somali diaper bomber was known by the Secret Service of England for 3 years, but he was not banned from England? How did the fact come that I have been banned from England, but the foiled bomber was permitted into England on several occasions, even though he had communications with his Islamic extremists in Britain? In England, would let this man travel through their nation, but they have banned a conservative talk show host named Michael Savage. And how is it that the great Rush Limbaugh and the great wall banger and the great savior of things red, white, and blue, O'Reilly, have had nothing to say about this incredible, incredible situation that an American conservative talk show host, Michael Savage, is banned from Britain while the British Secret Service knew that this foiled bomber was a terrorist wannabe. They had been following him for 3 years, And not only did they not ban him from England, they didn't even share that information with the United States. And this very same incompetent, corrupt British government that has banned yours truly, Michael Savage, was very happy to share the reasons why, the constructed, invented reasons why, with Hillary Clinton and the U.S. State Department. It was done nothing to this day to get my name off that list. I want you to hear what I just said to you. I am a conservative. My crime is believing in borders, language, and culture. My only crime is being patriotic. And my friends, I have had zero support from the American media. Thank God for listeners like you, and I've had thousands of you send money to my defense fund. And believe me, I have not given up. You haven't heard me talk about it because maybe you thought it was like a broken record. But I wrote the book Banned in Britain. Many of you bought the book. Do you have any idea this is one of the greatest outrages of our time? Yes, it is one of the greatest outrages of our time. And yet it's not been touched to any extent by the American media. Again, I will repeat, the Secret Service of England knew 3 years ago that the diaper bomber had multiple communications with Islamic extremists in Britain. They knew he was a terrorist wannabe, but they did not share that information with the U.S., nor did they outright put him on a ban from entry to England list. And yet yours truly, Michael Savage, who has never committed a crime in his life, who has committed only one crime, and that is to love the country that his grandfather landed in a long time ago, is on a list that says, do not come into our nation. If you think you're living in a safe nation, if you think you are protected by a vigorous and rigorous Secret Service and FBI that will get them, you are mistaken, my friends. And I direct you to the movie Defiance, based on the incredible true story. And let us pray that it doesn't come down to that. But it may come down to that. It may come down to the fact that you have to defend yourself from these terrorists because the government cannot and will not do it. I'll be right back.
Savage.
The Flying Dutchman took down the Somali diaper bomber, and the government talks about values. Instead of rubber hosing the act of war, the man who tried to commit an act of war, instead of turning him over to the military, as should have been done, and instead of trying him under military justice, he has now been given a lawyer, and he is being treated as though he's simply an innocent man rather than a man who tried to commit an act of terror on the homeland. And I say to you that Obama's reactions, while no mystery, are wrong. That is my opinion. And the phone number here is 1-800-449-8255. Let's go to your opinion, which counts. San Diego, Brett, welcome to the program. Go ahead, please.
How you doing, Michael? You seem like a pretty enlightened individual, and I'm wondering why you haven't shed any light on the two witnesses from the flight that actually saw a well-dressed Indian man actually talk this Somali onto the flight without a passport, without a visa, and then was, according to these two witnesses, this Indian man was detained in Detroit. The FBI denied it, and then they have changed their story three times since. And I'm wondering what you think about that. And I'd also like to know why you never talk about the Bilderberg Group and how they are running the world.
Well, the Bilderberg Group is a 1980s, early 90s talk radio third rail, so I'd rather avoid it. That's the kind of Y2K secret, secret handshake group that I have no knowledge of. So I would pass on that one. I suggest you go to people with shortwave radio shows if you'd like to hear more about the Bilderbergs. Now, with regard to the Indian man, I mean, I have the story up on my website. But what can I say about something that I know nothing about? I mean, I don't know anything to say about it. I try to speak about something that I can draw conclusions from. What conclusion can I draw from two eyewitnesses who saw the diaper bomber being led away and another man, an Indian man? I don't know what to conclude. What would you say?
Well, I would conclude that the FBI is trying to protect this second man for some reason. And if the Flying Dutchman had not stopped this bomber, we would have the country sounding the drumbeats for war into Yemen to further enrich the military-industrial complex and further eviscerate the freedoms and rights of law-abiding Americans.
So what would you suggest be done?
I would suggest that with our, I believe, $70 billion security infrastructure to keep these people out, that people just do their jobs. Had there been a person that would check to see if he had a passport, he never would have gotten on that flight. I don't believe they need to take more of our rights than they already have. They just need to have these people follow their jobs and do their jobs to keep these people off of our flights.
Yes, but what they're doing instead is punishing the average American instead of punishing the would-be bomber. And that's the way governments always work. It's the way I predicted they would work. I've said on the show that if, God forbid, there should be another terrorist act in this country, they would not crack down on the would-be bombers. They'll crack down on the average American patriot and go after your guns. That would be the reaction of a cowardly, hysterical, out-of-control, stupid government.
All right. Thank you, Michael. Have a wonderful
evening. Thank you. I mean, that's my, shall I repeat the words? Because those are my, that's my opinion of what we have running the country today. They're very dangerous. They're extremely dangerous, and they're more likely to get even more draconian with regard to you and I than towards the Somali or the Yemenite amongst us. Shall I put it any other way? Because there's no other way to put it. I shall be back momentarily here on the Savage Nation to take your calls at 1-800-449-8255. This is a big topic, but there's another big topic. The big topic is the big lie. The big lie of global warming. The denial of the fact that we're in a global cooling phase, as many scientists predicted as near several years ago. And yet there's been no backtracking by the community organizer-in-chief, who is going to try to steamroll us on global warming.
Savage.
It is 34 minutes after the hour. I'm Michael Savage, and some say my shadow looks like Huckleberry Finn. Others say it looks like something else. All I can tell you is that I'm the son of an immigrant family. I love this country very, very much, and I fear for the country because I believe we've been taken over by a group of insanely biased, anti-American college teachers who haven't the slightest idea who they are facing and what they need to do. I believe they have become hysterical with virtually every issue they have touched, whether it be health care, the banks, the insurance industries, the auto industry, and now, of course, terrorism, which they haven't any idea how to handle. Because if they actually looked in the eye of the Somali terrorist that wants to kill all of us, they'd have to come to understand there's only one way to deal with them, and that is the way George Bush dealt with them in the beginning. And that is go to war with them and give no quarter at all. Treat them the way they would treat us. But since the Somalis know that they can get away with virtual murder, kidnapping, hijacking, you name it, what is to stop them? Let me ask you something. Why would a group of ragtag pirates from Somalia be able to get away with hijacking one ship after another? How is this possible? We have a U.S. Navy. I mean, you take the smallest frigate that we have. They have the capabilities of blowing one of these dhows out of the water from God knows 50 miles away. They can pick it up on the radar, press a button, and literally exterminate everybody on the boat before it gets near a freighter. Why don't they do it? We have Navy SEALs who could go into a village where they come from. They know where they come from. They know how they're spending the money. They can go into Somalia and they can take care of business and disappear. Nobody knows where they came from. Yet we're not seeing this done. And so the Somali says the Americans are cowards. The Americans are run by cowards. They're afraid of us. Or there's no explanation for this. Why is the military not being used? We have Admiral Mullen, who speaks well, looks nice in a suit, and yet he may as well just be a public relations man. Chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff gets up and gives speeches, and we have a defense secretary, Robert Gates, who refuses to acknowledge the Fort Hood massacre was an act of jihad and terror, even though many soldiers were killed and others wounded for life. And we have an Alice in Wonderland situation where a government seems more intent on the rights and the sensitivities of the enemy than of the American people themselves. So you've come to one conclusion. Either they are incompetent or some of them are playing for the other side. There's no other conclusion. Either they are incompetent or some of them are playing for the other side. Some of them have been community organizers. Some have planned protest marches. Some were members or had friends in the Socialist Workers Party. Some associated with the Students for a Democratic Society. Many were related to various revolutionary groups. Many came from families that believed Karl Marx was greater than Jesus Christ. And so, therefore, we are in deep trouble right now. 1-800-449-8255 is the phone number. I'd be interested in your commentary here on the Savage Nation. San Antonio, Texas. Yomi, welcome to the program. Go ahead, please.
Hello, good evening, sir. How are you doing today?
Good. What's up?
No, well, I was just commenting on the news. I was looking on newspaper this morning, and I saw the USA listed, but the TSA brought out a list of countries. I guess countries that are considered sponsors of terror. And I was surprised to find Nigeria now, with that people now coming from Nigeria are now going to have extra screening. And I understand a Nigerian, you know, and I don't support terrorism in any form. You know, he's a disgrace to any Nigerian, because my background is from Nigeria, you know. And
are you a Nigerian Muslim, perhaps, or a Nigerian Christian, or an atheist?
I share family history between both religions.
Okay, I can understand that.
So I'm not.
But you can understand why Nigeria might be put on an extra watch list right now, I think.
Yeah, and if you look at it, my comment has to do with the fact that I've never seen a father want, you know, it takes a lot for a father to give out his son and complain, you know, this is what my son is up to. What did the U.S. do about it? Nothing.
Nothing, nothing, nothing. The father was begging them to take the son off the streets before he killed somebody, and the U.S. government, the British government, did nothing.
Nothing. But the aftermath of what is it doing to us as Nigerians is now profiling us.
No, I understand. I hear you. What you're saying is, why are they profiling the whole nation instead of having done the right thing to begin with? On the other hand, that's the way governments work. They're always behind the situation instead of in front of it, and they always do something that doesn't make sense. I'm sure your government is no different than this government. You know that the people in Nigeria who go into government work generally are people who can't do anything else.
Correct. And as I said, all, you know, the blame.
I mean, anybody who has real brains and drive usually starts a business or go as an entrepreneur or creates something. They don't go to work to become a GS-11 or whatever and sit and wait for the pension. And so that's the trouble we're in right now. We have a bunch of people waiting for their pension, hoping that they don't get fired before the time is up. Then once the clock is up, they'll go on CNN and tell Wolf Blitzer all the truth that they couldn't say while they're waiting for their pension. Look, I understand that you're feeling uncomfortable that Nigerians are now under the microscope. And it's a difficult situation for all of us in that not all Nigerians are terrorists, but now we have the statement of not all Somalis are terrorists either. But there's Somali pirates, the Somali bomber this, Somali bomber that. What are we supposed to do with Somalia right now? What about Yemenites and Yemen? What should we do? Accept the fact that not all Yemenites are violent? You have to understand, though, that there are loci of terrorism. There are locuses of infection, just as there are locuses of terrorism.
You know, that's an evil we have to fight. And you use religion, you use different things to fight an evil. Because, you know, anybody.
I hear you. Unfortunately, it's breaking up. I wanted to just give you a chance to speak so that you didn't think I wasn't hearing you, okay? See, if I were in charge, I have a different way of looking at things. I'm a realist, and there are men out there who can do this job. Right now, they're trained. They're in the Marines. They're in the Special Forces. They're in the Green Beret. You name them. We have the units that can go out. These men are as tough as nails. They're better trained than the enemy. They have better skills than the enemy, and they could kill them. There's no question about it. They're not being used properly. They're not being used at all, as a matter of fact. They're being held back. You know, you go back to World War II, you read the history of what went on in this country. You realize that the waterfront in New York City, the beginning of the war, was infiltrated with German spies, German agents, Gestapo, and they would note when ships were going to leave harbors, so that the submarines, the Nazi submarines, could hunt them down and sink them. And the U.S. Navy was smart enough to go to the New York underworld and say to them, we'll do a deal with you. If you help us rid the waterfront of the German spies, we'll do certain favors for you. In fact, we'll let Lucky Luciano, I think, back into America. I think that was the trade-off. I'm not exactly sure. One of the kingpins of the underworld at that time. Because the underworld consists of very brutal, very tough, very realistic men. And they also understand that when it comes to war, if they lose the country, they lose everything as well. So who are you going to turn to? NYU? They spent their time studying the law? Or are you going to go to the toughest, hardest, realist men you could find? No matter where they are in society. No matter what level they are in society. I would go a step further. I will tell you that the men who could actually do the kind of jobs that we need done right now with these bloodthirsty throat cuts, cutthroats, can be found in the worst prisons in the United States of America. Yes, that is correct. And I am sure that some of them would trade off some of their time for service to this country. And you say, well, you can't do that. Why can't you do that? Why can't you do that? There was another, you know, maybe I watch too many movies, but maybe I don't watch enough movies. Some of them are so good that they're instructional because they're written by some of the smartest people in the world. I'll give you an example. One of the movies that I happen to love a couple of years ago was about the founding of the CIA. I love that movie, The Good Shepherd, based loosely on reality. Now, you know, some men like to kill. There are men who actually enjoy brutality. It doesn't mean that they go out and randomly select individuals to hurt. And so they go into the military or they go into police work. And they are the ones who are capable of protecting the rest of us sheep from the wolves who are circling us. You see what I'm getting at? We need more wolfhounds to stop the wolves. We can't use shelties to stop the wolves. And unfortunately, I think we have a group of Shelties in the White House rather than wolfhounds. I'll be right back.
Savage.
Anyway, you know, you go back to the movie that I was talking about earlier that I watched on the plane, Daniel Craig in Defiance. I don't know how I missed this movie, about a group of Jewish partisans who took into the woods. And the toughest ones were previously, you know, low-grade smugglers or criminals. They were the ones who had the guts and the ability to kill the Germans and steal their guns and protect the sheep, the old and the young who got into the woods and survived because of them. And then they hooked up with the communists, the Russians, you know, and they lived through the war. It's hard to believe that these men survived the war. One of them came to New York and started a little trucking company. It's hard to believe the extraordinary story of these brothers, the Bielski brothers, and they were farmers, and they became, in essence, true revolutionary freedom fighters. Now, what am I getting at? What I'm getting at is we have men like this in all races and all creeds in our country, the tough ones. And you know the difference between the tough ones and the fake tough, the movie stars. Let's put it to you that way. We know Brad Pitt's not a tough guy. That's okay. He's an actor. Then there are really tough guys. The ones I met in my life who are really tough generally don't look it. That's the funny part of it. The ones I met who were in the either the Special Forces or the Green Berets, they look like ordinary guys. So we don't really know what a tough guy looks like. But we know that they exist in all races and in all countries at all times. Do you actually believe Janet Napolitano is competent for the job of Department of Homeland Security? Do you actually believe she was put there because she's tough enough to face down a Somali terrorist? You know that that's not true. So you say, well, she doesn't have to be. She just needs men who work for her who are. Really? You mean like Obama's terror czar, Brennan, who said that there was no smoking gun? In the global war on terror, John Brennan, you believe he's fit for this job? Detained American in Pakistan says his aim was holy war against the West. That's one of the five American Muslims who went to Pakistan and was captured. He acknowledged finally that his aim and the others was to wage holy war against the United States. But he defended his plan and the plans of his friends as justified under Islam. Where did he get these ideas from? A mosque in the United States of America. I'm afraid, friends, that your concepts of freedom of religion and no racial profiling, all of this crap that you have been force-fed in your colleges for the last 20 years will kill us all. It is time to throw away this rubbish put into your head by a group of radical left-wing fools who would not have been the type to have gone into the woods and fought against the Nazis, but would have been the type who would have collaborated with the Nazis in order to live another day. That's my humble opinion. And again, let's get back to brass tacks here. Why are these men that we have who are tough enough to face them down not being used? Why? Why is Obama so milquetoast-ish with regard to Muslim terrorists? Why won't he even call it terrorism when everybody knows what it is? Why is our Defense Secretary Gates so unwilling to call the Fort Hood massacre conducted under the jihadists, by jihadists? Why did he say, I won't even go there? Why do we keep getting happy talk out of these people when what we need is something entirely different? So again, it comes down to who is going to defend us. We are the sheep, after all, and the wolves are circling us. The wolves are multiplying amongst us. The wolves are being led into the country under immigration laws that are shameful and suicidal. The wolves are crossing the border. The wolves are congregating and planning to eat us alive. And where are the wolves? Where are the wolfhounds? Why are we not unleashing our bands of wolfhounds on them? Again, a movie. Sorry again to go to a movie. I told you it was the worst movie I've seen in years. A couple of weeks ago when I got to the Miami area, I watched it when I got there. I forget the name of it. What was the one with the prison break guys that I told you to buy for me? A Public Enemy. So it was about, wasn't it Dillinger, one of the bank robbers of the 1930s? Yeah, Dillinger. A tough, murderous farm boy who liked holding up banks. So the police try to get him and they can't. He's too smart for them. He's tougher than them. He's more brutal than them, and he kills cops like he's shooting down bowling pins. So there's a new organization, like the early FBI, and they bring in college-trained guys to go after him. And at a certain point, the college-trained FBI agents are getting knocked off. So finally, one of them says, men like us can't catch him and the other bank robbers. We just can't do it. We got to go somewhere else to get him. And in the next scene, they bring in some old boys from Oklahoma and the panhandle of Texas. You know the type I'm talking about, the type who tamed the West. Mean, hungry, lean hunters who were capable of hunting down Dillinger like the mad dog that he was. Hunting him down and killing him without blinking an eye. We have men like that. They're our protectors. Why are they not being unleashed on the wolves? Because the college boys are trying to do the job, and they're incapable of it. It's time for the boys in the gray flannel suits who've been trained in all of the codex of political correctness, all the rules of political rules that they learned. Certain races are superior to others. Certain races are oppressed. Other races are oppressive. Certain sexes are superior to others. Whiteness is a disease. Global warming is real in the midst of a blizzard. These are brainwashed college boys, not bad people, not evil people, not unpatriotic people, but way out of their league with regard to the enemies that we have. And so we need the wolfhounds to be unleashed. They probably exist in some of the intelligence agencies right now. Maybe they're the older guys. I doubt very much that the real wolfhounds would be allowed into the FBI today. I doubt very much that they would even let them into the FBI. I doubt very much that any of them could be let in today. Maybe some of the old-timers, yes. But today, they'd never hire anybody who could actually do the job that needs to be done. Impossible. Instead, they would rate them based upon how politically appropriate they are with regard to certain checklists. And so we're in real deep you-know-what with regard to the community organizer who is incapable of organizing his forces and his men to fight the war on terror properly. All the king's horses, or shall I say, all of the community organizers' horses and all of the community organizers, men, could not put Obama together again. This is the Michael Savage Show. That's one man's opinion. It does not mean it is your truth. It is my truth. I come from a different generation than most of you. I'm probably older than most of my listeners. I come from a different time and a different age. I admit that. But it does not make me wrong. In fact, it may make me more right than you think. I want to remind you again that I am an immigrant son. I have one foot in the old world and one foot in the new world. And I've lived many decades in this country, and I've seen many things change, not all for the better. I have never, though, seen such vicious enemies being led into the country and being given red carpet treatment. I have never seen such a lapse of national security interests as I am seeing under this community organizer's watch. A man who went to see Avatar with his children while the rest of America sat and waited for a definitive statement about what happened and whose head would roll inside his government. And so, as I say tonight, it is not a very good picture from my point of view. No, not when you see what they are saying. They are all saying the wrong things at the wrong time. And so, God sees the truth but waits. And unfortunately for all of us, we're still waiting for God to see the truth and speak. This is the Savage Nation. Be here or be nowhere.
Savage.